Well, my friends, it is December the 28th. This is Monday night, 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And this is the voice of Shatter the Darkness. Tonight, we are just days after this celebration of Christ. I mean, it's a good thing. Don't go silent. It's a good thing to tell everybody, everywhere, if you're a believer, if you've experienced and you know the living Christ, then nothing should silence that incredible grace that we have to share. And so we're going to do that this hour. And by the way, 1 hour, 6 p.m. to 7, Monday night, Eastern Standard Time. It's going to be a supernatural hour, providential. Some of you are here by the very direct providence of God. And I acknowledge the thousands of you that then go to the archives. And at some other date, you download or maybe somebody sends you this particular show. Well, I want you to know it's more than a show because I believe God is involved with it, prayer is involved with it, and there is a summoning by God, and there is a work of grace. Now, there's a battle also for your soul all over the place. I acknowledge that, and millions of others do. So let's be real about life in a fallen world. We're going to take on this week an incredible topic. Here's the topic, and I always list it at www.shatterthedarkness.net. 5 glimpses into the future, 2010 and beyond. Now, that is 5 glimpses into the future, 2010 and beyond. Now, that's the topic for the week. Monday night's theme or title is Time Travel into the Future, Actual Detailed Future History. Let me ask you a question. Where are you right now? I mean, where are you right now? I was driving home from, another city, and yesterday, my wife, my daughter, a boyfriend of hers in the car, a very good young man that we care about, and we're driving, and I'm thinking about all the incredible blessings, all the things I have in my life, all the good things. Now, I've been through. I'm telling you, I know what it is to battle, it seems, hell itself. So I know what it is to battle and fight and at times seem to lose, other times to see great successes and miracle. Because we're in a battlefield right now, my friends, and it's about, destiny, it's about now, it's about agendas. You know, we know that globalism is rising, and that is only a visible evidence of a globalist agenda initiated by, the fallen cherub, the prince of the power of this immediate dense atmosphere we live in. That is this fallen cherub. Now, that's, you know, if you want to look at the world right now, go back to the beginning when the fallen cherub entered in and we embraced an alternative stream spiritually. And instead of a spiritual evolution to deification, there was a descent to the edge of hell. Thank God and grace and mercy that has come to rescue us. And I take no bones and am not ashamed to say God loves you, God knows you, and God, more than any other person, wants you. May God speak into your life this simple little 1 hour on a Monday night. Tonight we're talking about the theme for the entire week, 5 glimpses into the future. Tonight we're going to deal with time travel, actual detailed future history. And I asked you already, and I want you to be thinking about, let me ask you this, where are you right now? Where are you? Now, I'm driving home yesterday, and I'm thinking of the blessings and so forth, and, you know, I'm over 50 years old, and I'm thinking, man, half a century I've lived, and I can go back and think of where I was raised as a kid and where I went to grade school, where I went to high school, my grandmother, who is now with the Lord. I can think of many, many years of things and things that we've gone through. So there's a lot of the past that I can look at. And you know what? During this time of the year, the end of 2009, the end of every year, right about this time, I begin to look over the year to see what things were accomplished, what goals I've reached, and what things occurred during this last year, things that I didn't do. I want to evaluate. Can I do things better? Can I sharpen things? Can I, you know, all these things. Now, I can look at the year and see things that we planned, things that we have wanted to do. I can see incredible answers to prayer. And listen, my voice and your hearing right now is one of the big answers to prayer. In 2008, going into 2009, my biggest prayer was, somehow, Lord, may I get into live radio. Let me have somehow get out there and get into live radio. I had no idea that Steve Quayle would call and we'd get into some interviews together, and that he would directly, and his own words were that God told him to give me some time on the air. And so, for as long as I have this time, I will be responsible to God and care about you. There's only one reason for this voice. It's the heart of God that pulsates here, is about a love that is incomparable, and He loves you. And we're in urgent times. Now, you can take a look at your past. You can look over the past year. Someone says, "How was 2009?" What would you say? And by the way, during the live show, you can always write in, email in, shatterxmail@sbcglobal.net. shatterxmail@sbcglobal.net. And boy, I just got an email that popped in right now from some friends of another radio broadcast site that is asked me to be involved in an interview. So we'll put that up coming up here soon and tell you about some of the new interviews that are going to be going on. By the way, again, if you are new to this voice, my name is Russ Dizdar. ShatterTheDarkness.net on the web. ShatterTheDarkness.net. And there's just tons of stuff for you, information. And take your time. It's a very, very packed, busy site. And just take your time, go through, you'll get familiar with it. We've put up the new devotionals for those who are believers out there. We're catching up, but we're going to put on the main site the devotion for the day. So December 28th, the devotion is already up there, and it's about, I try to keep them down to about 10 minutes, but I think it hit 20. It's how to, or how not to grow spiritually dead. You know, that's a vital issue for believers all over the place. So how do you not grow spiritually dead? And so that's up there, 20 minutes, and there'll be one for the 29th and on and on and on. Now, we got some bad links, and we're going to fix those up, and we'll get those taken care of. But in the context of the topic for the week, the urgency of the hour, and again, all of us will reflect on last year. Maybe our financial situation, job situation, our age, our health, you know, all kinds of things. See, I do a lot of that, but I do, you know, again, in the calling that God has given, the desire to bear fruit, to do the will of God, to extend the kingdom of God. There's a big battle going on, and I'm one that wants to be there engaged and see the body of Christ do the will of God. And listen, I, because again of the love of God for people, he's here in a rescue. It's a mission of rescue. And I hope you understand that. Again, whatever your background, we have psychics and paranormal researchers and remote viewers and military men and women. We have political individuals, we have Luciferians and Satanists, all that listen, many that write a note, and I deeply appreciate from England, from Canada, from Australia, from the United States, from, you know, listen, writing a note in and just, you know, expressing your thanks and gratitude, and your comments about the show, your comments about the MP3s we have up. I'm very grateful for that, and I love to always hear from where you're coming from. On our Sunday night show, I'm able to find out, you know, where a lot of people are from. But during the week, we don't have a chat room. And although you can write in if you want, you know, send a note once in a while. Let me know where you're from, where you're listening from. And we're trying to do a number of things, get better equipment for 2010. as I was saying earlier, the answer to prayer of even being here, this here is the providence of God. It's an answer to prayer. It is direct. I mean, I'm astounded by the direct answers that God brings. And that's intended. And there is intent from God. And let me tell you something. If you're a believer, I'm telling you that we can learn to pray with great power and also with personal, things that God brings into our lives. I was explaining to somebody just last night late about detailing and talking to God and detailing the issues and telling, you know, and explaining and sharing personal requests. And that's the great thing about interacting, again, not with the force of the universe, but a living, personal God that cares so much. Well, you know, look at the cross, let alone there's that one verse out of the Old Testament, repeated now in the book of Peter, cast all your cares on him because he cares for you. Now, I think that's a vital thing. And again, my testimony simply is that God's grace is here and God speaks into our lives. And that affects past issues, current life right now, this very moment, and the future, whether that's an hour from now. Listen, we've seen snow coming down here. They said 2 inches. Since last night, I'm looking out, there's about 6. My wife coming home from work slid past the driveway. We're on a hill and had to go down the street, turn around, come back. Last night, tow trucks had to pull one car out. We've had the telephone pole hit, wrecks out front, deer have been hit and killed because of the weather. And we didn't expect this much snow. We've already got our entire driveway. A year ago, we had to have a plow trucks, big ones, come in. We couldn't get in or out of the driveway. There was so much snow. So we're in the middle of that. And tell you the truth, I wasn't planning on it. I wasn't planning on this level of snow yet. But it's here, and we're going to have to interact with it. And so there were some things I needed to do today to make it easier for my wife to get into the driveway. Well, that involves right now. And I'm going to tell you that God knows all about your past. God's interested right now in time, this moment. He can heal the issues of the past. He can break the fears of the past. He can teach us things concerning the past. But let me tell you something. It's right now that he interacts. Right now that he speaks. Right now that he saves. Right now that we can grow. Right now that revival can come. Right now that prayers can be prayed and answers can be got. Right now that angels work and the hand of God moves. Right as you're listening, whether live Monday night here at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, or whether during the next month you're listening to the archives. God is out there in the future, if I can say it that way. He cares about the tomorrows, so much so that for those who have come into a personal relationship with God through Christ, we have a verse that we find very familiar in Hebrews chapter 13, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and literally it says all the tomorrows, all the tomorrows, all the tomorrows. And we're going to be digging into this omniscient, omnipresent, infinite God, his personal interactions with us. Now listen, you know what we're going to do also this week? We're already seeing individuals line up the predictions for 2010. We already know that 2012 in massive amount, the Webbot Project, the 2012 prophecies, psychics, and going back to Nostradamus and all the others. Now everybody's, you know, looking everywhere for information. Books are written. It's, you know, whether it's the aliens attacking Mother Gaia, destroying the earth, billions are going to die. You know, there's catastrophe, chaos, catastrophic events predicted literally by everyone. But the weirdest thing I saw the other day was, you know what it is? Already individuals are looking over the decade. 2000 through 2009, looking over 10 years, they're now calling it the decade from hell. The decade from hell. And I'll be sharing on the live show this week and next week. I'll be sharing on the Sunday night shows and some of the podcast broadcasts that we do. A lot of what people are saying about the decade from hell. Well, because of the tsunami, the terrorism, all the different things that are going on. Economics, everything. We'll look into those. But there's going to be a lot of individuals predicting, obviously right around New Year's Eve, New Year's Day. A lot of predictions are going to come out. All, you know, from all over, psychics and remote viewers. Listen, the new predictors on the horizon are the remote viewers. And we're going to see more and more and more from them. And again, I engage them and welcome them into the show and acknowledge that they have come and downloaded and listened and interacted and called and that we keep every one of them that we know of, every book author that we've read, we keep every remote viewer in our prayers. So there's a spiritual reason. We've already outlined that. I don't have time. Listen to me. I don't have time to do that right now. Why? Because I've got 60 minutes and we're focusing on the topic, Five Glimpses into the Future, and the specific title tonight, Time Travel into the Future, Actual Detailed Future History. I got seven points to touch on tonight. Before I do, I've got to tell you something. Well, as a matter of fact, you can turn to Isaiah if you want to. Those who have Bibles out there, you can go to Isaiah 46 because it deals with past, present, and future. God is speaking from verse 4 down, even to your old age and gray hairs, God is speaking now. I am he who will sustain you. I have made you and I'll carry you. I will sustain you and I will rescue you. To whom will you compare me or count me equal? To whom will you liken me that we may be compared? Some pour out gold from their bags and weigh out silver on the scales. They hired a goldsmith to make it into a god, small g, and they bow down and worship it. Verse 7 says, they lift it to their shoulders and carry it. They set it up in its place, and there it stands. From that spot it cannot move. Though one cries out to it, it does not answer. It cannot save him from his troubles. Now stop there for a moment in verse 6 and 7 and realize that in a fallen world, individuals look for a higher power. I mean, anybody from AA and NA, you understand a higher power. The sad thing is, and some of the guys that I met there before, that the ashtray, they turn the ashtray into their higher power. Well, again, like this, there it sits. You can cry out to it, but it doesn't answer. The ashtray, you know, the self-conceived higher power, even made out of gold or silver, cannot save you, can't get to the issue. Isaiah 46:8 says, God speaking now, remember this. Fix it in mind. Take it to heart, you rebels. Verse 9, remember the former things, those of long ago. Now, God calls us to remember the past, specifically Israel now, and the past as God has intervened, rescued, showed signs and wonders, spoke, gave them his word, sent angels. There is massive, massive interaction and massive communication. And God is saying, remember that. Remember the former things, those of long ago. God says then, quote, I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me. Verse 10, I make known the end from the beginning. From ancient times, what is still to come. I say, my purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please. Now, this is not God in a small g. This is not alien master race flying around in a spaceship that crashes in Roswell. This is not Nostradamus, Edgar Cayce, Gene Dixon, or Sylvia Brown. This is not a remote viewer. This is not what they're tapping into. This is not the Akashic Records, the great universal. This is not the collective unconscious speaking. This is not the field. This is not the energy. This is not black matter. This is now the omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent, personal God that speaks. The immaterial God that created all that is material. And God says for us to remember the former things, those of long ago. In the midst of all of it, God says, quote, I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me. Well, I do agree. Verse 10, I make known the end from the beginning. Have you ever thought of that? I mean, you cannot even tell me whether or not you're going to make it to the end of this show. Some of you might have to get up and run to the restroom. Some of you might have somebody knock on the door. I wondered whether or not, because my wife had been last year, she has gone off the road 3 separate times in the midst of a snowstorm, all of which required being towed out. So tonight, when she didn't come in before the show, my mind is going to that category. Because of the car she drives, it's not good in the snow, and we've got more than we calculated or was told of, and because she's late, is she off-road somewhere? Then I get a phone call that went to the message machine, and it's her voice, but there's nothing else there, but her starting to talk, and then it cuts off. So what do you want me to think? Is she out there on the side of the road? So 5 minutes to the show, I'm wondering whether I'm going to have to go out there in some kind of rescue, find my wife. Or am I going to do the show tonight? Well, my wife pulls in the driveway, gets into the garage. Everything's fine. She's upstairs. 2 minutes until the show starts, I call in, and here we are. But I'm going to tell you right now, God knew intimately every single thing, all the contingencies. God could make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still yet to come. We have a prophecy in Genesis Chapter 3, concerning the spiritual battle of the ages, Christ, Satan, and all about the end of days, about salvation, about God rescuing and coming to us. And I don't know exactly how many years ago. I know that Psalm 2, that speaks of globalism, of places like Bohemian Grove and the Trilateral Commission and Bilderbergers and all the rest. Now, that speaks of the globalists and gives warning and gives invitation. God already tells from 3,000 years ago what they're going to be saying. He's going to describe their emotions, and he's going to detail the collective unity of those who have bought into a spirit-originated end-times globalism. God already knew that. 3,000 years ago, he has given grapha, writings, that have living, that are, listen, they're alive right now and speak. But that's 3,000 years ago, and now they speak here. But they're not only speaking to people now and giving invitation and warning, but they speak concerning things that have not yet occurred. So when God says in Isaiah 46:10, I make known the end from the beginning, well, from ancient times, what is still to come. God says, quote, I say my purpose will stand. And you can be sure of that. And that's true of those that are Luciferian or globalist that know what you're planning, what you're a part of, what you're doing. That's what we're going to be engaging in these next number of days. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 6 p.m. to 7 Eastern Standard Time. Tuesday night, survivethethrive.net. I'm on from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we will continue that then. Let me take just a moment or two to give a little bit of, commercial here. Again, if you go to shatterthedarkness.net, you're going to find a daily devotional material. You're going to find the downloads for the Abyss And you're going to find, well, just hundreds of MP3s, information about the book that is out now, The Black Awakening, Rise of the Satanic Super Soldiers. But I wanted to mention where a friend have sent something in out of Texas, and it's from Times Online, out of the UK, of course. Title of it is, December 28th, 2009, Eerie, quote, Eerie Outpost Unnerves U.S. Marines. The Eerie Outpost unnerves U.S. Marines with strange lights and whispers in the night. Wow. Eerie Outpost unnerves U.S. Marines with strange lights and whispers in the night. Now, the beginning of the article begins to say the Marines found the bone as they scraped a shallow trench, long, dry, unmistakably once part of a human leg. It was followed by others. They reburied most of them, but also found bodies. Three of the graves were close together. In another was a skeleton still wearing a pair of glasses. The Marines covered the grave and told their successors to stay away from it. Now, Observation Point Rock sits a few hundred meters south of east of the patrol base, Hassan Abad, where a company from 218, or that might be 28 Marines, has been stationed for the past 7 months. Now, I'm not going to read the whole article, but I'm just going to tell you that the place is called The Rock. It has acquired a particular reputation. American troops widely refer to it as the Haunted Observation Point. Now, this is interesting for a number of reasons. I've done broadcasts, and there are now podcasts out there dealing with the spiritual concerns and oppression and interactions that many, many soldiers are having. You're talking about the very land where the Nephilim roamed, ancient gods and goddesses, and burial points of those gateways are. You're talking about places of the dead, of the summoning of demons, of gateways and of objects and symbols and ancient worship. And here soldiers are now engaged in their finding the bones in all these places, and they're saying that they're seeing lights at night, strange lights that are appearing, and that they hear sounds or whispers. I'm telling you that when places are spiritually, you know, opened up and spirits are there, and familiar spirits and generational spirits and spirits summoned in rituals and spirits that have claimed areas, spirits that are engaged in bloodshed, violence, and war. Some of the people buried there may be Taliban members. They may be Russian soldiers. They may, you know, there may be whoever they originally were. It would seem as though the place is very well known for spiritual activity. Now, towards the end of the article, I'm going to quote partially what Lance Corporal Austin Hoyt, a 20-year-old, said. It's simply, this place really stinks. The stinks is not his word, but this place really stinks. Putting his backpack on to return to the main base, the Afghans say it's haunted. Stick a shovel anywhere and you're going to find bones and bits of pottery. This place should be in National Geographic. In the front, there were our weird-looking windows for shooting arrows. Well, this is again why I put out the... And the reason I bring this up, and I think the individual that sent this article knows, we can agree that doorways can get open, spiritual activity can occur. And I've mentioned Abu Ghraib. And you might say, well, some soldiers there of ours went wrong. Well, let me tell you something. I think we should focus on what was done prior to our soldiers getting there. You know, where women were raped with animals, where men and women were shot, tortured, where horrible, horrific, unbelievable things were done. When soldiers were interviewed there, they talked about ominous presence, as if you can feel dark presence walking around following you. Listen, that is a place where doorways have been opened, just as these Marines have found a place where doorways have been opened. Just as I've talked to Marines and soldiers that have come back, and they've explicitly shared the spiritual oppression, the spiritual battle and so forth that they've gone through. Because of the territorial prince of Persia over the area, because of the ancient doorways and places, when those places are dug up, when those places are entered into, well, interaction can definitely begin. And it's obviously that it did there. So I'm going to say this to everyone listening. And soldiers, God bless you. May God and the Christ, listen, the peace of the living Christ be with you. May you know his eternal salvation and be assured where you stand when it comes to knowing God. May you realize that God cares about your life, whether you're a soldier or not. But because you're a soldier in a physical battle, and you understand that battle, please understand there's a spiritual battle with spiritual weapons, and the oppression, the weird things, the suggestions, and even for many soldiers having thoughts of suicide. I'm saying very clearly that the dark side is there, present, always on bloody battlefields and violence. They're interacting. And they love to push people over the edge. And I'm just going to share, because of this article sent to me, that all soldiers, well, again, knowing Christ and being protected by the blood of Jesus and knowing your authority in Christ, you can do some great things for other soldiers there and sharing Christ. Now, for those that don't know Christ, I urge you to come to the living Christ. There's relief. There's freedom. And I would pray that all of us who are believers from all over the world right now would pray for soldiers to be delivered. It's enough to deal with the physical battle, yet let alone the spiritual. And it's real. And it's clear. I mean, so real and so clear, it's the reason Jesus died on the cross. And wherever you're at right now, we would want to see all soldiers literally go through a spiritual debriefing, that others can come around them and pray off all the attacks. Maybe where you're at, sitting in an Abrams tank, sitting in a tent, listening somewhere, there's a soldier. Maybe somebody sends you this. And it's important to know that there is protection, authority, and presence and power that comes from the living Christ. You can use your spiritual authority, if you're a believer in Christ, to pray off the attacks you feel. Listen, you can even go to the shatterthedarkness.net website and find materials that can help you there, as we've heard, has been done. Looking at that article, I remember again, the oppression, the powers are real. And because we're in the unprecedented ramping up, listen, we need to really know what we need to do to battle, to stand our ground, and to be free from spiritual dark, spiritual attack. Very important for us to do. Now, let's get back to the body of the message, because we've got just about, notice this, 25 minutes left. We're on a timeline. We only get so much time. You only get so much time. You only get so much time for this life that you're living right now. Whatever you were and wherever you were 10 years ago, 50 years ago, depending on your age, what about right now? What about right now and where you are right now? And what about tomorrow? What about the end of the show? See, I may know where I might take the end of the show and what I need to speak the last 5 minutes, but we're not there yet. We're actually about 20 minutes away from the last 5 minutes of this Monday night show. You and I could be just years away from the end of the age, the end of history as we know it. Even in our physical bodies, we might be at the last number of years. There's no one that knows this better than God himself, who knows intimately everything. That's why I think it's important for all of us to engage, embrace the concept, the attribute of God, omniscient, the totality of knowing, past, present, future, all at the same time. God is outside of time. He's inside of time acting. We are bound to it. We are in it. We are under its limitations. God is not. That's one thing about miracles. Lazarus was dead 4 days, but it just took God in human flesh to stand there and say, I am the resurrection and the life. If any man believe in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And then call out, Lazarus, come forth. Do you know what that took? That took infinite authority. Calling the human spirit of Lazarus back to the physical body, all at the same concurrent moment that the total healing of the body would occur and a glimpse of resurrection would occur, and Lazarus comes forth from the tomb. All the people understood. They were mourning, crying. They even acknowledged concerning the rotting of the human body that by this time he stinks because of the decay. But the physics of God goes beyond past, present, and future. You've got to understand, if we possibly can, because we're finite, we are limited, and we cannot think, calculate on an infinite level. And listen, we can go to the web. We can go to the web bot. We can go to massive computers. We can go to think tanks. We can go all over the place. And no matter what the calculations are concerning predictions of the future, well, let me give you the five. I'll give you all seven, and I'll go over them one by one, real quick. We're going to go over this concerning time travel and into the future. Number one, the guesses and speculations and so forth. Number two, God and the past, present, and future. Number three, prophetic revelation, unparalleled knowing. Number four, the only accurate record of future history. Number five, all contingencies. Number six, heads up and warning. Number seven, it's all about you ultimately. So let me go over those real quick here together in this, 21-minute countdown. Number one, there's going to be a lot of guesses and speculation, risk management, business companies, all kinds. I mean, listen, we've got military and businesses around the world that are hiring remote viewers to take a look into the future. And there are those that are crunching the numbers. They're calculating the past, futurologists and researchers and think tanks will all be gathering their data to take a look at risk management, begin to predict things and talk about things of last year, the trends and what's happening, and begin to give speculation, prediction, literally prediction about the future. And so whether it's going to be companies, military, whether it's going to be psychics, remote viewers, and even the ancient underground Luciferians gauging their agenda will be trying to look at what time it is. And did you know that ancient dark Luciferian covens actually get spirit-guided prophetic messages from their side? They've literally brought them to me before, written down, prophetic messages in a coven meeting of a demonic presence speaking through one of the members about future events for their side. Listen, you and I can think about counterfeit prophets on the field that are trying to deceive the people. But don't forget about counterfeit prophetic elements actually guiding ancient Luciferians in their development of globalism. So again, the guesses and speculation, all of this is going on. Predictions are going to be made. Radio stations, talk shows. Here we are. We're talking about it. We're coming to the end of a decade. We're coming to the end of 2009 and the beginning of 2010. And don't forget, 2012 is all in the mix. Because once we start talking about 2010, I'm telling you, this week and next week and all during January, discussions of 2010 will go on for a while, but will move to 2012, 2012, 2012 again and again and again. And the sad thing is, all the calculations deal with catastrophe, catastrophic issues. And, well, I'm going to tell you that there is an alternative predicted future. We'll get to that in a moment. Number two, God and the past, present, and future. And I was reading, and I'm going to tell you again, whatever your background, listen, military men and women, speculators, risk management, you know, individuals, futurologists, take a read of Isaiah 46. They are living words, and God will impact you, whether you're a believer or not. These are living words. As a believer, we should know them well, and it unveils depth, brings us a depth of information about the attributes of God, about the relational aspects of God. The omniscience, the omnipresence, and the omnipotence are all revealed in this chapter. But let me also say the omni-relational, God is omni-relational. What I mean by that is ultimate relational being speaks, talks. We can read about the heart of God. We can read about God being grieved. We can read about God desiring you and wanting you. So when you think in terms of God and the past, present, and future, I'm going to tell you something. God not only knows the totality, even if you've forgotten the past, God knows your past. All that you've been, all that you've done, all that you've said. And concerning the sin and the wrong, the only way to see that erased, in the book of Hebrews, it even tells us that God will not remember, he'll wipe out the sin issues through Jesus, the blood of Christ. That's one way to have that side of the past, you know, dealt with. I'm going to tell you also that I've found that God can bring healing. If you've had bad experiences, past issues, traumatic things that occurred, and even right now you're going through bad stuff, God can speak into your life, bring healing into your life, guide you right now, lead you to respond to all that has occurred, guide your life, open doors for you, even bring a miracle that not only touches your present, but may heal past issues and grant you a better looking future. See, all of that can happen in a moment as God, if you're not a believer, comes into your life through Christ and your destiny is secure. You come to know things absolutely, and you have someone who cares about the past, the present, and the future of your life. Regardless of those of you that can, listen, for those that listen that are involved in psychics and you're researching and you're looking into Nostradamus and all the rest, let me say this. On an infinite scale, beyond our ability to calculate, God knows the past, the personal, right now, present, and the future. Now, I'm saying that with an awareness of his presence in my life right now. With an awareness of I'm calculating in my life right now, how things went last year, how things are going right now, what I'm praying for, looking for the leading of the Spirit of God, looking to see, because here's what God in Christ designs us to bear fruit, to succeed at doing his will. And let me tell you something. You know, I read in Romans chapter 8, when it comes to the providence of God, that God is at work for the good of those who know him, love him, and are called according to his purpose. Read about it in Romans chapter 8. Nail it down there very clearly. If you know Christ, God is at work in your behalf for the good. So rise up, yield to Him, get into growing, seek the Lord in prayer, and trust that God has good things too. That God can give you the ability to handle the bad things powerfully. You know, a lot of things is about how we respond to the things that happen to us in this life. And knowing that you have a Savior that loves you, that answers prayer, that listens to you, that can bathe you in His presence, heal the past, help you in the present, and point you into the future with a, well, indestructible future in Christ. That involves that glorification. So again, take a moment, if you would, sometime today and read Isaiah 46. I mean, this could be seen in Isaiah 6. 700 years before Jesus came, 2,700 years ago, when we have these writings where the prophet Isaiah has the experience in this vision where he sees the Lord high and lifted up. He says that he sees Yahweh Adonai. He sees angelic presence declaring, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God, Yahweh Adonai, Almighty, who was, is, and is to come." This incredible revelation of God, His activity in the past, His activity right now, His activity in the actual future history. God's got it covered. And if you know Him, He's got your life covered. And if you don't know Him, He's inviting you into, let me tell you something, into His boat, into His safety. He's inviting you home. The Creator is inviting you to come to the Redeemer, Christ, who gave His life at the cross. Now listen, when I say that this is spoken 2,700 years ago, Isaiah 6 was an experience the prophet had 700 years before the same one that he saw high and lifted up, Yahweh Adonai, became human flesh. The experience that Isaiah had 700 years later, Yahweh Adonai, God, the Logos, came into time and space and became human flesh. Now, He did that to take care of the issues of sin, Satan, death, hell, all of that, yes. But the bottom line is to rescue you, to deal with your life, your past, present, and future. And I'm saying right now with urgency, please deal with where you stand with God. Because all of us only have so much time. And the Bible itself says, God says, it's appointed a man once to die. After that, the judgment. There's no second chance. Now, let me give you number three tonight. Three. In dealing with time travel, we're dealing now with prophetic revelation. Prophetic, and that's what I'm saying out of Isaiah chapter 6. In Isaiah, the whole book is packed with end time events. There's predictions of the first coming, predictions of the second coming, massive revelation of God coming in human flesh when Christ came, the virgin that shall be with child, Emmanuel. It's all there in Isaiah. There's stuff concerning the past too, the revelations of out in the heavenlies, when the anointed, once anointed cherub, the insurrection, when he became the fallen cherub, and you and I know him as the devil or Satan right now, that has not only entered into our world because we allowed it, but has another agenda. Now let me tell you something, in the midst of all these speculations and guesses and predictions and everything you're going to hear over the next number of weeks and over this next month, prophetic, biblical, prophetic revelation is the most massive, massive work in human history, number one. It is unequaled anywhere in history, number two. Number three, that it always involves accurate, detailed fulfillment, that no human or devil can stop. It involves glimpses, like in the Old Testament coming up to the New, or now coming to the end of days. It always involves, this is number four, it involves the only accurate look, the only infallible look at actual future human history. Now, I always am mentioning Revelation 19:19 about Armageddon. And I know that soldiers and military men and women listen. I know those interested in this issue listen. I know that the globalists listen. I know that Luciferians and chosen ones and those who are claiming to be the troops of Antichrist listen. I'd love for you to respond in email, send a note. You can even go to our website. I've got individuals that send me letters that are with no return address and no signatures, but they're pretty interesting. But here in point number four is prophetic revelation that is massive, unparalleled, etc., is the only infallible but accurate detail. Now, when you go to Revelation 19:19, you're dealing with future history. We've got future events that are going to come. The abyss is going to be open. The Antichrist is going to be revealed. The false prophet is going to be here. The image of the beast is going to be here. The mark of the beast is going to be here. Globalism will be here. There'll be massive persecutions against believers, an attack against Israel. There's going to be the unprecedented manifestation of supernatural deception. There are going to be the two witnesses. There are going to be the opening of the abyss, and these demonic hordes will come down and bring an attack. There are going to be interactions of the Antichrist beast system and the wrath of God smart targeting that system. There's going to be the biggest, broadest mother of all rituals done. It's not been done yet, but it will be done. This is a planetary spiritual wave, Revelation 16, gives the glimpse of what is actually going to happen that will actually influence, grip the hearts of political, military, national leaders and their militaries to gather together. They're not going to gather together on their own human wisdom. It's going to be by an unprecedented spiritual force that has guided them into this globalism, now guiding them into this military venture. It's all about annihilating God. It's all about destroying the descent of Christ. It's all about stopping. Listen, do you understand the entire spiritual battle right now in globalism? All the globalism, economically, environmentally, nationally, the UN, all of it is about Revelation 19:19. The ultimate agenda to destroy, to blast out of the sky Christ. If you can get that, and then begin to back up, because Revelation 19:19 shows us the largest, broadest spiritual military in all of human history. Well, take a look at that, because we're getting glimpses of infallible but accurate, detailed future human history. Now, number five, realize this: all the contingencies, they're all calculated. You know, when I think about the all of 2010, and I'm thinking about what I'm going to do and things I'm planning and whatever else, and prayerfully looking through things, but I don't have all the contingencies God does. Now, there's a confidence because God leads for the good. God's with me in all the stuff, in all the things that go on. But I want you to know that as I think through, all of 2010, and as I plan based on what I believe God has called me to be and do, and what I feel led to pray for and what I desire and things like that, God has all the contingencies that could, things that could happen, might happen. All the contingencies are in when God gives the grapha, the writings, prophetic writings. They're called the prophetic writings in Romans, the last few verses of Romans 16. The prophetic writings commanded by the eternal God are to lead to the redemption of the nations. That's what it's all about. But all the contingencies, everything that could possibly occur, so that we can say, well, you know what, if God predicted Armageddon, well, he didn't predict it. He's telling us that it's going to occur. It's not that God causes Armageddon. God's giving us a heads up about an alternative spiritual agenda. God's not the author of globalism. He's not the author of the Antichrist. He's not the author of the false prophet. He's not the author of the mother of all rituals seen in Revelation 16, nor is he the author of the opening of the abyss and the destruction. He's not the author of one-third of mankind, you know, being slaughtered by Revelation 9. No, God is giving the heads up of an agenda that is out there that's going on that's deceiving. God did this in the beginning when God gave a heads up to humanity and gave a word from God that would have preserved our eternal nature and would have sealed sin, Satan, hell, death, any of that from ever. There would have never been a rape, never been a child dying, never would have been a ritual, never would have been a war if we humans wouldn't have opened the door. Number six, all of prophetic revelation is about a heads up and a warning. God is trying to tell us this is what's going to happen. This is what's going to go on. He is giving revelation not only about what he's going to do in the world and Christ coming back again, but he's giving massive revelation of specific strategic. This is an intel report from God. Did you hear me? This is an intelligence report from God on the sequence of satanic evolution, on the events. God knows about the Antichrist. God knows about the rituals. God knows about the opening of the abyss. God knows these things, and he's given in spirit-guided, infallible prophetic revelation, a heads up and a warning. Here's what's going to happen. Here's what's going to go on. Remember Isaiah 46? I make known the end from the beginning. Remember in verse 9, remember the former things, those of long ago? Remember from ancient times what is still to, you know, he makes known the past and the future, all of it, what is still to come. That's why God can say in Isaiah 46, good memory verse, I am God and there is no other. I am God, capital G, and there is none like me. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something right now. Point six, God gives prophetic revelation. Looking at what God says about the future is like time travel. From God's perspective, infallible, accurate, get a hold of it. Number seven, because it's all about you. God's invitation for you to come home to Christ, to the gift of eternal life. Believers, step out, my friends. Become the great prayer warriors and witnesses that God wants you to become. In these end of days, grip prophetic revelation. Listen, we're at the end of the show. We'll see you tomorrow night at 7. Rust is our shatterthedarkness.net.